Today's episode of the podcast is kind of intense. I start off by talking about the fact that we have lice and mice at the house right now. It's been that kind of a week. And then through a couple of twists and turns, I end up talking about the genocide that is happening in Gaza right now and how to navigate knowing that there's terror like that unfolding far away, but also so very close to home. How can we take care of ourselves? Are we allowed to take care of ourselves knowing there is such pain unfolding in this world? Where are we all heading? And what can we do? What can we do to be of service? That's the podcast today. Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I'm faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too-good-to-be-true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take two delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Let's jump in. Okay, I've made it. I've made it. I'm here. Here we are. You have made it. You are here. Welcome to a brand new episode of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. I am so glad that we are all here. I have a ginormous cup of ginger tea by my side. And when I say ginormous, I mean ginormous. It's almost a liter of water. What's a liter? Like 24 ounces? I just pulled that out of my... Yeah, I have no idea how many ounces a liter is. Wait, let me find out. Okay, 1 liter is 33 ounces. So I was kind of close, but not at all. What is up with the ounces and the Fahrenheit? I think it's so complicated. No matter how much time I have spent in the US in my life, and I still can't learn the Fahrenheit and the imperial system. It does not make sense for me. Anyway, I have a liter of tea. A liter is 100 centiliters, 10 deciliters, or 1,000 milliliters. But look, it makes so much sense. The ounces, it's just weird. 33? Why is it 33? So yeah, sorry. Welcome to the show. My mind is all over the place, as you can tell today. I made it here. It's taken me a little bit of a struggle, actually, to get to recording this show today. I have my ginger tea. I have my hydrogen water by my side, which has become this thing that I bring with me everywhere I go. We're going to have an episode of the show talking about hydrogen water because it's something, but not today. And I'm sitting here in a really messy bedroom. It's the messiest mess of all time. And the reason that is because we have lice. Okay, I'm welling up. Like I'm welling up. It's been a stressful week. Okay. We have lice and we have mice. What the fuck? Like who decided that? Who decided to kick off May with freezing temperatures, pouring rain? It's literally so cold, we had to go back into the barn and get our winter clothes again. Like I had just put everything away because finally the summer, you know, spring was here. It felt like summer. It was really warm, amazing. And it's middle of May. So it's like, yeah, we don't need all that stuff anymore. Okay, middle of May, middle, beginning, you know, kind of middle of May. And we had to go back and get all of our stuff, like the really warm sleeping sack that Bear sleeps in the stroller and Leia's hats and gloves. And yeah, it's just, it's like a small thing, but it feels ginormous. It really is. I feel like I'm starting to get really depressed by the weather and by a bunch of factors happening, unfolding at the same time here in this little corner of the world. So yeah, it's freezing cold. It's pouring rain. And then like a week ago, we got in the school app, like Leia's app has a school for Leia's app has a school. Can you hear me talking? Leia's school obviously has an app for information and stuff. And they sent out a little thing like, hey, just so you know, one of the groups has lice, so make sure you frequently check your kid. And I was like, oh, hell no. Oh, we are not doing that. No, 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 no. And I checked her. She didn't have anything. She hasn't been itching, like nothing, nothing. And it was another group. It wasn't her group. So I was like, listen, child, like you, like stay away from that group. It's like you can't tell a seven-year-old to stay away from kids at school. But I'm like, if, you know, don't put your head near anybody else's head and don't you dare switch hats with anybody. Like I was trying to explain to her how lice works, even though I know like it's futile. I have 0% chance of winning the battle against lice in school. Like we know this. If you have kids, you're eventually going to get lice. Like that is just what it is. But I'm really not into it. I mean, who is? But I am like, no, this is a nightmare for me. And a week passed, I've checked her like every day and nothing, you know, and I really like exhaled, like, yeah, we dodged a bullet. It was contained in the other group. And then yesterday I just caught her like scratching her head. And I'm like, that was a fluke. And then 5 minutes later, she's scratching her head again. I'm like, hey, what you doing over there? What's going on there on the side of your head? She's like, I don't know. I'm just really itchy today. I'm like, okay. And here's the thing. We had dinner planned last night. So my brother and his girlfriend was coming over. My mom was on her way over. And Finn's godmother, my best friend, was coming. Or we were just having, I don't know, it's just a line. We're not celebrating anything or anything. It was just like we're having dinner at the house. And my friend, my best friend called. She's like, hey, I have a migraine. I don't think I'm coming. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like you, I'm like, she's dodging this bullet. It's like, it's very good, good. My brother lives 5 minutes away. He was already in the car and my mom was almost here. And I'm like, I'm not going to say anything because I really want the help. I want them to come help me. My brother walks through the door and I'm like, hey, before anything happens here, before you know, enter, we maybe have lice. And he was like, okay, bye. He just turned around and left. Just immediate panic, like, bye, no way in hell, goodbye. We checked his head before he left. I'm like, hey, you've been hanging out here a lot. Don't you want like a little check just so that you're sure? He does not have lice, but a surprisingly dry scalp. So he's going to have to deal with that. So I'm like, you're very lucky that we checked this out. Like you need to hydrate your skin. And anyway, and then my mom showed up and she's so like, I don't know how many times we've had lice in this. I mean, she has four kids and she had four kids very separate, like far apart. So me and my brother are 2 years apart. And then the next sibling arrived like when I was 10. And then 3 years after that, another one. So she's done like the batches of kids. It's not like we all had lice all at the same time once in school and that was that. Like it's probably been like a couple of rounds, you know, because having kids in daycare and school at different ages and stuff. So she just like, all right, no big deal, stepped in. And Leia was so sad in the beginning. She was like, I don't want to, it's my fault. And we're like, dude, this is just lice. There's nobody's fault. Like this is just something, it's just like catching a cold or whatever. It's nobody's fault, you know. And my mom was like, I don't care if I get lice. I literally don't mind. Like, I'll sleep in bed with you. I don't care if I get lice. I've had lice so many times. It's not a big deal. Let's go. And we checked her out and we didn't find that many, but she definitely had it. It wasn't like my mom was trying to explain to me. She's like, when you guys had lice when you were little, it was always so far gone by the time we realized it that like we'd turn your head upside down in the bathtub and comb it out and just lice would fall into the tub. But with Leia, we almost couldn't, like it took like a long time to find a single one. And at the end, we found two. So I think we caught it like right at the very beginning. And we couldn't find any in my hair. So I'm like praying to the god of, I don't know if there is some kind of like school motherhood family god that like protects mothers who are very sleep deprived and tired. But like, please don't, please, please. I really don't want lice, okay? I'm tearing up. I'm literally crying right now because that's how badly I don't want lice. And I don't know if you guys know, but I have a lot of hair. My mom had this theory. She's like, yeah, you don't have anything. You know, I think your hair is too thick. The lice, they can't get down there. Which doesn't sound like a very scientific explanation. I'm pretty certain that's not how it works, but I'm like, okay, I'll take it. Bear doesn't have anything. And Dennis, who sleeps in bed, like him and Leia share a bed. They are the ones who close. Like I sleep with Finn, Dennis sleep with Leia, and they share a pillow. He doesn't have anything either. So I'm really wondering if we like caught it on day one and it hasn't exploded yet. And maybe we contained it and maybe nobody else is going to get it. Like, please, please, please. I so hope. But you know, it comes with a whole thing. At least this is what we do and what we were told. I mean, since I was little, it's like you have to get all the sheets and all the stuff and all the fabric like off the beds and then put it in the freezer. Yeah, I don't know. Is anybody else doing that? That's what we do here, because even 5 minutes in the freezer kills off everything. So then you don't have to worry. Luckily, we have this like old barn freezer. It's actually really lucky because we have this old barn freezer where I really want to put all of our meat and fish and stuff. Like I like to keep things separated so I have it organized because we have two freezers in the barn. And I really need to get rid of all of last year's produce that we still have in the big like storage freezer. So I've been asking Dennis for like a week, please, can you like get all the meats and all the things and put it in the other barn for me so that we can organize? And he just has been procrastinating it, which is something he does for everything. And it's like one of our biggest, it's my biggest pet peeve. It's like one of the things that annoys me the most about being married to this man is how much he procrastinates. But this time it really served us because we had this whole freezer empty. So we could literally just pull out the drawers and we put sheets from three beds because we've been kind of sleeping around in these different beds, puzzling sleep and kids. And we put three beds worth of sheets into the freezer overnight. And doing all the laundry, like rounds and rounds and rounds of really hot laundry, doing her hats and jackets. And then I'm trying to like not make too big a deal out of it either, because it's just lice. It's not the end of the world. But you really don't want to do this whole process and then get it again. You know, like you didn't get it all the way and then you have to do it again. Like that would really, really, really suck. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you need to get something off of your chest? Is there something that you need to share with someone, but you just don't know how? We all carry around different stressors, big and small, but when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off of your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. If you have listened to this show, you know that I'm the biggest advocate for feeling your feelings. The world is a better place when we're able to express how we feel and communicate with people who might have upset us. And trust me, repairing relationships just feels so good. It took me a lot of therapy to get to this place, and now I can see past the anger, sadness, and frustration and look at the bigger picture of solving the problem and moving forward. We tend to think that therapy is only for those who have experienced major trauma or big issues, but therapy is actually for everyone. It's so helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries, and it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. We all go through challenges in life, but we never have to do it alone. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off of your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/YogaGirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/YogaGirl. So anyway, that was that was last night. And then we found, like, I go the natural route for everything, but I don't fuck around with lice. Like, no. So we got the gentlest version of the toxic thing. It's like for sensitive skin and babies. And yeah, we did the treatment for Leia. And let's just, like, hope that this really, 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 really works. And then at the same time, like, I'm like, this sucks, but this is like, this is farm living. Like, I just see something, like, on the floor, like, it's something like a black little thing. And I'm like, is that a mouse dropping, like, randomly in the kitchen? No. And then I didn't think about it anymore. And then I, like, go over to the other side of the kitchen and I see Bear's chair, you know, where he eats and obviously, like, throws food everywhere. And even if we clean the chair, you know, a baby seat, it's always the grossest part of a kitchen. Like, it's always the least sanitized part of a kitchen. And there's always, like, little food left and crumbs and stuff. And there's just mouse droppings all over his chair. And it's, and it's, okay, we don't live in a major city. It's not like New York and it's rats. No, it's like little country mice, okay? They're really cute. They're very cute. They're not, like, they don't look gross, but we know they're gross. We know. You don't want your baby eating off a tray where mice walk around. Like, no, nobody wants that. Oh, even talking about it makes me, like, a little bit nauseous. And it's so weird because I was really trying to think of it like, hey, if we were out in the woods, if we were 100 meters away from our house and we stood in the woods on the corner of the land and we saw a little mouse, we would be like, oh my God, so cute. So cutie. They're so cute. They're like big brown, you know, brown eyes. They're so, so adorable. But then you find them in the house and it's like, oh my God, no, 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 no. We don't want rodents eating our food. And no. So then having to deal with that, and it's like, It's people keep telling us to get a cat. I'm really allergic to cats, so we could never have an indoor cat. And I kind of wanted, like, I wanted an outdoor, like a barnyard cat. Like, isn't that totally normal? But then when I ask around, it's not so cool to keep outdoor cats, obviously, in the wintertime. So they need to live inside in the winter. But I don't know how to do that. So anyway, one thing at a time, but it was so great to wake up this morning and, like, we have lice and mice. It's like perfect timing of everything. But yeah, overall, I'm also on my moon. I'm on my period for my third cycle since pregnancy, my third cycle postpartum. And this week, I just kind of fell into a hole with it. I don't know if it could also just be the circumstances of the fact that we're not at all sleeping again. It's really, 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 really bad. And it's been, like, he's almost 11 months now. It's a really long time. I really thought we would hit some sort of milestone. He's almost one, and that things would change and we're going to start sleeping. But maybe not, like, he's going to magically sleep through the night and everything's going to be, like, you know, fairy tale sleep land. No, but I thought it would get better. And it's not better, you guys. Okay, I want to cry again. It's just not better. It's worse. And I think just the accumulation of just almost a year of sleep deprivation. And then my period, which normally, and this is my kind of normal, but it's been so long since I was in my cycle. So I've just kind of forgotten that I tend to fall into a little hole, like a tiny little depression hole. Just for a couple of days. It's like 1 or 2 days where it's really bad. Usually it's right before I get my period. But this time it happened when my period arrived. I just all of a sudden find myself so sad. I feel so sensitive. Everything that's not going well feels like the end of the world instead of just little things, you know, the way they are. Like in a normal week where I'm just, oh, you know, everything is so beautiful and we have so many blessings and it's like life is great. And then these little setbacks happen all the time because it's life. When I end up in this hole, all of a sudden, it's like it reverses. It feels like everything is terrible. Everything is the end of the world, but there's like little glimpses of good, right? And it's so bizarre because my life is the same. And it's, yeah, that dark place that my mind can go to, it turns really quickly. And even though I know, because it happened when I was already bleeding, it's like, I know this relates. I know this connects. This makes sense. It's not out of the blue. It's not because something is terrible and wrong. You know, it's like, this is where I am. It's just part of how I feel once a month. But it doesn't really help knowing that. And I do feel a difference. Like before I changed my diet and I changed my lifestyle and all of the things, I used to feel way more fatigued when I was on my period. And I used to feel like that pit of anxiety was, it lasted a longer time. Now it's like a day or two kind of, or over the past, yeah, the past two cycles that I've had anyway, it's been like that. But it's also, you know, not to forget that there is an actual active genocide happening in this world that we are reading about and watching on the news every day. And I really think for anyone, for all of us to take in that knowing, to walk around just knowing that there is active, willing slaughter of human beings, of women and babies and civilian and good people and men. Like, let's not forget about the men, just the dads and the regular human beings of this world who are not, who didn't enlist to go to war. That is unfolding every day. And where we are now with what is happening in Rafah, it really is, it really, 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 it feels so intentional now to gather a whole population of people in a safe zone and then just demolish it and have the whole entire world look on. Yeah, it's really reminiscent to something else. You know, it's like we've seen this before. And knowing this, and I know there's, yeah, I haven't had a lot of these conversations here on the pod because I'm sitting here by myself, just sharing what's on my heart and on my mind. And I am, of course, no expert in any of this. And anytime you open your mouth to say anything, there's going to be 100 different opinions and why that's wrong and why that's uneducated and what about this side of things. And it's like, I think we're just at a place now where if you're not seeing what's unfolding, if you're justifying what's unfolding by saying, but what about, you're intentionally closing your eyes to it. It's not just you're not seeing the other side of the story or not understanding or having a different, you know, background that led you to believe something. It's like if you're not acknowledging this, if you can't see it, it's because you're choosing to close your eyes. You're making an active choice to not care. And it's beyond fucked up. Like, it's beyond. And it really feels like, probably this is, you know, because I'm speaking from a darker mindset this week, but it feels like we have crossed the barrier, like we've reached a point of no return on this earth. Like genuinely, if you look around, like, does it feel like things are getting better in any area, or does it feel like we're just slowly descending as humanity? Like, we're just slowly losing sight of everything that's important, of everything that's real. I don't know. I just, like, we are living in an age where we have more access to information and technology than ever before. It's sort of, you can wrap your mind around World War II and the Holocaust, and somehow, even though it's absolutely incomprehensible, it's also like, but most people didn't know what was happening until it was too late. Like, that's what you hear all the time. And it's like, yeah, well, there wasn't TV, there wasn't the internet, there wasn't this access to information the way we have it now. It would take so long for information to reach people. And then it was filtered through really poor quality radio or newspapers, you know, that were really limited in their reach. It's like a whole different, it's like a different planet back then. And now we're living in this age where every single thing that happens, it unfolds in front of our very eyes in live, real time. So how can we be so blind? How can we allow it to happen? Because we are. I'm not saying it's you and me, it's our fault. Like we're doing this, it's not our doing, but as humanity, as a people who live on this earth, like we're allowing atrocity after atrocity to just happen to innocent people, to nature. I mean, it's, yeah, when you look at it from that standpoint, it really feels like we're living in some real dark ages. We really are. And I felt it was so dystopian, you know, to sit here. I'm sitting here on my phone and I'm getting image after image. It was like a mix of every other image on my screen in my feed was either the Met Gala, which felt so dystopian, just these mega celebrities who have so much, like it's so much money and wealth and power wrapped up in this super elite. And they're posing on this carpet for the cameras in ways, you know, that just, it felt so like, what are we watching here? And I get it. Yes, art, super important. Fashion, really amazing. There's, of course, like goodness in art, in all forms of art. But come on, we're looking at like size zero Botoxed people who've had surgery and who have access to every single thing they need to look as young and as uniform as possible. Like you don't see a single wrinkle in that whole entire event. Like everyone is just squeezing themselves, forcing themselves into this mold of being thin and not aging and being beautiful in the eyes of what society has decided is beautiful and what they decide together with the media is beautiful. And we're looking at that as like, this is something to mimic, right? Like this is the height of success. This is the height. This is the epitome of everything that we should want, right? It's this wealth and this fame and this beauty and this being looked at and being adored. And then at the same time, it's like, hey, these people are dying. And it's happening by will. It's not a natural disaster that we're watching having unfold. And it's like, oh, who knows who's to blame, even though we know we are to blame for most things. Every flood, every drought, every whatever thing happens, it's like, oh, you know, it's nature, it's weather, even if we have a hand in it or not. But this is like, it's willingly happening. It's funded by major governments. It's someone is calling the shots here and deciding that this genocide should take place. And we're all watching the Met. We're all watching fucking celebrities. Like I know I sound very cynical and very negative, but it is the most dystopian shit. It is. Do scents evoke memories and transport you back to being on the beach during your favorite vacation? I know they do for me. Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil smells like summer or the beach in Aruba, bottled with all natural uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. But it's not just about the elevated scent. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft. It delivers that coveted post-vacation glow, like you just returned from a tropical getaway. And right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. I love Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I use it every single day and I have for so many years. It makes me feel silky smooth and just glowing. This body oil is rich but never greasy and clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It visibly firms your skin, leaving you more sculpted and toned. No wonder I feel so great after using it. But it gets even better. With Osea, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Osea's products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. They are a women-founded company that has been making seaweed-infused skincare for over 28 years. So bring on summer. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean vegan skin and body care at Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. And I shared that on Instagram, like, this is bizarre. And then I got a comment like right away, because I was having a low day. And the clip that I shared right before was me going in the bath, like I was pouring milk in the bath to take a bath. And then this person is like, this is such a fucked up thing for you to share. Like, if you put any kind of normalcy up against what's happening in Rafah, what's happening in Gaza, it's going to look dystopian, no matter what you do. If it's like you're taking a walk in nature, having a peaceful time, or you're on your yoga mat, or like you're in the bath now, like that looks dystopian if you put it against these people who are refugees and forced to flee to a so-called safe space and are now being murdered in front of the whole world looking on. And it's like, yeah, that is true. Like everything that is safe and good and normal in contrast to this genocide is, it looks dystopian, looks fucked up. It's true. But me lying in the bath isn't distracting the majority of the public eye from the genocide happening, which is what the celebrity world does. And what something like the Met Gala does, especially like that could be an amazing opportunity to speak, to take a stand, to do something, right? To like, everyone's watching. And when you look at like the millions, the billions of dollars involved, like that is not the same as me taking a bath. Like you or me or anyone listening or anyone just trying to live a regular life, any one of us doing what we need to do to regulate our nervous system as this unfolds is not a bad thing to do. And it's not something that either we should feel guilty about or bad about, although I know we all are. Like it's not, unless you're ignoring it, unless you're putting your head in the sand and choosing not to give a shit, right? It's like we somehow have to go on and do what we need to do to take care of ourselves and our families and feed our babies and do the thing so that we can go on. Like that in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's like we have to. And, you know, can you take that bath or go for that walk or take that yoga class and then keep watching, right? And keep talking about it and keep being outraged and keep protesting. This whole week, I've felt like, fuck, I haven't been to a single protest. And I've had this excuse like, I live far away. There's nothing happening in my area. I have Bear. I couldn't bring Bear to a protest. I couldn't, you know, I should be, yeah. But hey, I have friends who are fucking marching every time, every day. And I'm not there. And I really think each of us could be doing more. I could be doing more. I should be doing more. And I've shied away from talking about it too much. Like I go through cycles where I listen a lot and I take in a lot of information and I'm there and I really feel like I can stand in this and know that this is unfolding and I can cope with that and I can share what I see. Like I come across something and I just share it online. That is like the bare minimum. You know, there's not some amazing great feat to like press a button on your stupid screen to share something that's unfolding and happening in real people's lives, not that far away. But somehow, I don't know, I've felt really burnt out from the like fights in the comment sections and the DMs and, you know, somehow that criticizing a political decision made by government, like criticizing a government, like that's the same thing as somehow criticizing a religious belief. Like those are two separate, like they don't align at all. But it's sort of become this thing now where if you say, hey, I'm against this genocide, I'm against what the Israeli government is doing to these displaced people, to some of the most marginalized people in the world, I'm against that. I don't want that to happen. Oh, but then you're anti-Semitic. And it's like, haven't we come further than that? Like, is that the argument really? It's just, yeah. And after a while, it's really tiring to hear that when these things are just completely separate. And it's actually, I think it's shameful to use anti-Semitism to justify a genocide. Like, are you kidding? No. And there are many, many, many good, solid humans out there who are so against anti-Semitism, who want the safety of every Jewish person in this world, who read and know a lot about the Holocaust and who really care and who have friends with that faith and who have that faith themselves, who are so appalled and so absolutely against the killing of these innocent people. And I would love to say that that's most of us, but even though it feels like most of us, it's not stopping. So, and it's continuing to be funded by the US government. And it's like, that's a lot of you listening. That's your taxes. That's your money. You know, you're working really hard to make a difference for your community. And at the end of the day, that's where your tax dollars go. Like, I get the outrage happening. There should be more. There is more, and we're not seeing everything that's out there. But I don't know. I really feel like in the past few months, I go between centering myself in my little bubble where I look out at the world and it's like, it's a scary place. It really is. And I think of that from every angle. It's scary how little forest we have left. I think about that every single day of my existence. Sweden, we pride ourselves of being a country of forests. Like, we have no forest left. We have plantations of trees. The real forests are all gone. They're gone. But right where I live, like if I look at the window now, there's like some beautiful trees there behind our barn. And it's like, hey, well, I can tend to this land. I bought 60 trees and berry bushes at the garden, one of these little garden stores that I love. It's like, okay, I'm planting now 25 new trees here on the land. And I'm just going to continue to plant. I'm just going to continue to grow things. I'm going to tend to this space that I can tend to, right? And then I don't think that much about the deforestation happening and how we're actually ripping the lungs of the earth out of the soil at a rate that we could never, ever, ever repair. Not while humanity still exists anyway. Like, it's just, I can't think about that too much. You know, I just, okay, I focus on planting trees where I am. And sometimes that feels like the healthy thing to do. If you care about the forest, well, everybody should care about the forest. I mean, if you care about breathing, you should care about the forests of the world. But it's like, if you care, you should know, you should take in all the information. You should learn what's happening here, where you live, wherever that is in your local area. You should learn about what's happening in Sweden and what's happening in Canada and what's happening in the Amazon and Brazil and what's happening, you know, all across. But then I'm like, I can't really exist in that space. I can't move through my day today and actively think about how that is happening, how people are choosing profit over life every day, every second of every day, how literally capitalism is tearing our whole world apart. Like, I cannot think about that. So then I focus all of my attention inward and to myself and my family and this area and this land. And I just go about growing things and I go about planting trees. And I do that for a while and I feel okay. I feel good. I feel better. And then something comes up, you know, and my attention goes back out there and it's like, it's too much. So there's this oscillating sort of happening between just seeing my own 2 feet and then taking a step back and zooming out at the world and then getting immediately inundated with a sense of a very real panic. And then it's like, okay, let's go back, come back. Like, I look back at my feet and I look back at the earth here and I look back at the beauty that exists and the fact that there is so much good and, you know, all the stuff. But it's sort of becoming too big, the madness now. It's getting harder and harder to have that pendulum switch, I guess.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm using the forest just as an example because it's something I'm very passionate about. And it's also much easier to, it's easier to digest the grief of what we're doing to trees than it is to digest the grief of what we're doing to babies. I can't put that grief into words and still speak. And, well, we know the real victims of this genocide are the children. And I read this past week about the mass graves that they continue to uncover. And I read about a dad who pulled his child from a grave, and he said, "It felt like I was pulling my own heart out of the earth." And I think about that quote all day, every day. I mean, can you imagine pulling your baby, pulling your little one from a grave? Like pulling your own heart out of the earth. It is, maybe that's why we have to oscillate, we have to shift from taking in the grief and the pain and the madness and then getting really stuck in our own bubbles and not talking about it at all because it's too overwhelming to hold. It's too overwhelming to think about. I think about that dad like all the time. I think about those parents all the time. I think about those children all the time. But talking about it, this happens, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, like, yeah, it becomes very challenging to continue carrying a conversation or to continue caring about your day. But then, isn't that literally our responsibility? Isn't that literally our job? If we are in a place where we are safe and whole, and we are picking up our children from their cribs and from bed and from the kitchen floor to hold them in our arms and play and eat, and, you know, we're not picking up our children from graves, isn't it our job to hold that pain then, and to keep listening and to keep reading and to keep being outraged and to do something, even though none of us know what that something is? Like, we don't know. For me, that something is just having this conversation with you right now. Like, this is all I know what to do. We can donate money. Yes. Continue doing that. Keep sharing what you see. Yes. Continue doing that. Sign the petitions, do the thing. Go to the protests, march, like do all the things. But like, what can we do? And that futile hopelessness of knowing there's major powers at play who don't have people's interests at heart, who don't have this planet in their hearts, like, where are we going? And maybe this is all part of a big shift happening. You know, I think in the spiritual community you hear a lot about change coming and dark forces being exposed and change happening. And maybe that is true. You know, what if this is the last we'll see? There'll never be an injustice like this ever again. This is the one. I just, from where I'm sitting now, it doesn't feel that way. But then again, next week will feel different for me because I live here in this safe place where I can plant trees and grow my food and hug my babies every day. So maybe next week we talk about regular life things like, yeah, going to the gym and making herbal medicine and taking care of our mental health and all the things that are really important to this life. And there are people now, so many people who live a completely different reality. And I wish I had the answer of how to make a change. I really did. I really do. Like, I knew something. I had a recipe for, here is what we do now. And I guess all I can do is this for now, to talk and share my feelings as they come and hope that by listening to this podcast, you feel something too. Maybe we all live with our hearts a little bit more on our sleeves, not just for the pain that we experience in our own life, but for what is happening to real people in the world, even though we don't know them, and even though it feels far away, and even though there are so many even those. And it's also like, these are all our children. We know that. We know that these are all our children. And maybe we are going to feel this low level of background anxiety for as long as this continues. Maybe it's part of just being a person in the world today that we feel a little bit anxious all the time, or a little bit depressed all the time, or a little bit like something's not right. Even though life is so good and so easy for so many of us, it's like something's not right. Maybe that's because something is not right. There is something that's wrong. And it's so wonderful to spend some time thinking about what could be, how beautiful this life could be for all of us, how much abundance this earth actually gives, and the capacity that human beings have for compassion and peace and joy and play and, you know, this utopia that absolutely is possible, could be. That not just some of us have a good life, but that all of us have a good life. Like, that's not an impossibility. Like, we don't have to have the world look the way it does. We don't have to have 15,000 children die while we look at Botox people walking down a runway or like a red carpet. Like, what are we doing? Seriously, what are we doing? What are we wasting time with? Yeah. Thank you for listening to this podcast about lice and mice and genocide. What a fucked up world. I am going to spend some time to regulate my nervous system today. Yeah, I want to close with that. I want to close with just something that we can do. And remembering that that's the first step. There's nothing that should come before regulating ourselves. Nothing. Not helping our kids, regulating our kids. Like, we can't do that if we're dysregulated. So regulating ourselves is step one. And however you do that, whatever works for you, if it's a bath, or if it's rage running on a treadmill, or picking up the phone to call a friend, or going for a dip in a lake or a body of water, or rolling out your yoga mat, or putting your hands in the soil and planting some seeds, like whatever regulates you, do it. It's not just your birthright to take care of yourself. It's your responsibility. If you can, if you get to, do it. Just to settle the mind, the heart, the body. And then from there, the next right thing will come. Yeah. That's the wisdom I have for today. Regulate, and then you'll know what the next right thing is. So thanks for listening. I love you. Take care of yourself, and I'll be back next week.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.